Yeah. So, Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel." In every record at the beginning of his ministry, this is what it's talking about. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 4, just to show you a couple of these, and I want to talk to you a little bit about this gospel, and I want to show you a little bit about what it's about. It's impossible to cover a tremendous amount of it, because if you took the Bible and you took the words Holy Bible off the cover of the book, you could put the gospel of the kingdom in place of it, and it would be very accurate. But in Luke chapter 4, in verse 43, it says, "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in their synagogues of Galilee." The Lord preached the kingdom of God. So Acts, at the end of his earthly ministry, we have recorded just before the ascension. And one of the reasons why I'm teaching it at this time is that I want you to get a glimpse that since the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, he was, with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, he was preaching and teaching them about this subject in the Bible. And that's what it talks about here. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus." Theophilus is beloved of God. "Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he threw the Holy Spirit hath given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." The Lord spoke to them for 40 days after his resurrection. And if you remember, just a little bit ago, I taught on the two men on the road to Emmaus, and then his appearance unto them, where he was yelling at them, actually, because they did not believe. They did not believe that he was going to get up. And then he started with the Torah. He started with the books with Moses and showed how the prophecies of the scriptures had made known unto him and made known unto them the fact that he was spoken of, and that Christ had to die and was going to be raised. But the gospel that's preached is that gospel of the kingdom. You know, in order to have a kingdom, you got to have a king. You have to have a rule. You have to have land. And that is what the scriptures have been talking about all the way through the Bible. So look at verse 5 or verse 4 here. "So he spoke to them pertaining to the kingdom of God." Verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to restore the kingdom? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, the apostles were asking the Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom now? Is this the time? And the Lord Jesus Christ answered them very specifically, and he said, you know, the only one who knows that is the Father. The Father is the only one who's got that information. And I know that many people have, prophesied or spoken and misspoken and tried to guess when our Lord and Savior is coming back, when this kingdom commences. But, it says very plainly in the scripture, it's the Father is the only one who knows. So my point right now is that Jesus Christ always spoke about the kingdom of God. And you know what? In the Gospels and in the epistles, you get no explanation of what that kingdom of God is. He never explains it. Because the people he was talking to, the Jewish people, understood this perfectly because it's all throughout the Old Testament. They knew that the seed of the Messiah is the one who's going to reign. This king is going to come. He was going to come through the line of David, through the line of Abraham. He was prophesied that he would be the ruler, that he would bring. I mean, just think of the things that the angel spoke of when our Lord and Savior, when the angel was talking to Joseph and to Mary. I mean, they were expecting a Messiah that would rule. When he entered in, we call it Palm Sunday, but when he entered in, they welcomed him as a king, Hosanna in the highest. You know, so the Jews expected a Messiah, a king. They expected the overthrow of the evil world that they were in, and that Jesus Christ and his men very much expected. He's been talking to them about the kingdom for 40 days, and they very much well, is this it? This now's the time? And no, the Lord says, nope, only the Father knows. Only the Father knows. See, that kingdom, look at Romans chapter 1. Like I said, been spoken of, and I think people have a lot of thoughts about it, but you just have to realize that the scripture makes plain these wonderful things. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, the good news of God, which he hath promised before by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. All of these things that God has talked about and made known throughout the Holy Scriptures and the Old Testament and the prophets came to pass. Those prophets were talking about, verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, God himself. And God declared that he was his Son by the resurrection of the dead. See, to have the seed of David, God had promised David that a king would always sit on his throne. Those prophecies all came to pass with our Lord. The understanding, the Jews understood what this kingdom thing was. They didn't ask him about the kingdom. He made known to them how the kingdom was going to work. Go to Daniel. You know, most Christians think that they have a very limited understanding or view of the whole Bible. And when I say most, I guess it's not fair to make such a broad, sweeping statement about many people. But to tell you the truth, the people that I went to church with had no understanding of it, and there was a lot of them, and the denomination is huge. In Daniel chapter 7, it says in verse 13, "And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there were given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is from everlasting dominion. It's an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." Our Lord's kingdom is not going to be destroyed. Verse 27, "And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heavens shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him." All dominions shall, they're going to obey him. That day has not come yet, but it is coming. Our Lord is coming back. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there's nobody going to get in his way. Because this word of God, this gospel of the kingdom message that he spoke of, that has always been spoken of, may not use that terminology everywhere in the Bible, but it's still the same message, is going to come to pass. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and in verse 14, it says, "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When he returns, he's not coming back to be as meek and mild. Our Lord is not going to return meek and mild and be spat upon and crucified. He's coming back to rule. And so many of the things that he taught, and I wanted to bring to your attention, so much of what he taught, and I want to go to Matthew 13. We're going to look at some of the parables that he talked about concerning the kingdom. Now, I did a class on this, which you can find on the church website, ChristianOutreachFellowships.org. And I did a whole class on the parables, and I think that it might bless some of you. Look it up, download it, listen to it. From what I understand, we all got plenty of time on our hands. So make good use of it. Oh, so much for the jokes. I'm glad I didn't give up my daytime job. But Matthew 13, I want to show you what the kingdom, what Jesus Christ, the spiritual realm. And if you go through the parables, you get to see the importance, you get to see the flavor, you get to see a picture of many of the doctrines that our Lord and Savior put out there. You know, the doctrine of the word is very plain and simple. Thou shalt not steal or forgive. Forgiveness is a major aspect of Scripture. Yet, in the parables, he gives you a beautiful picture of what that is to look like and how important it is. And the parables, a lot of people think that they were meant to be understood by people who are spiritual. They were also meant to hide the truth from people who had hard hearts. And because Jesus Christ, you know, he just wasn't. And when you get to Matthew 13, let me show you here. When you get to Matthew 13, just before Matthew 13, you have an unbelievably tough crowd that has been dealing with Jesus Christ. They have rejected him. They've called him a devil. They have tried to trick him. And they have literally rejected the king, you know, their savior. Most of the people around him, except for those that are following him in the group, have rejected him. And this is the context in which this Matthew 13 with the parable starts. And he lays out the parable of the sower. We call it the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And he just speaks it to the crowd. And then the apostles get all upset. And what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you talking to them in parables? You got all these people in front of you. Why are you dealing with them in parables? You know, and he says, because they are going to, these people are, let me not paraphrase it. He says to them, verse 11, and he answers and says unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. Now he's going to explain it to him. He's going to show it to him. But the reason that he's speaking to them in parables is because there are the fulfillment of Isaiah. God had spoken so often. In fact, when Isaiah, with the prophet Isaiah, God told him right at the beginning of his ministry, he says, nobody's going to believe you. You're going to speak, you're going to spend a lifetime preaching and speaking and teaching the word, and nobody's going to believe. You want to talk about having a bad day? You know, you want to talk about a life? But you know who believes the prophecy of Isaiah? I do. You do. It was written for us. He spoke the words to them, and they had no ears to hear it, no eyes to see it. But you and I believe those words. You and I profit from those words. So this is the fulfillment of what Isaiah said. And here they have the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ in front of them. And they have, in the previous chapters, treated him like garbage. And they do not believe. So he starts talking to them in parables. And the people who, in this parable, is going to explain a lot. All right, so let's just go for it and read it. Verse 18, "Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom." See what it says right there? Now, the word of the kingdom. It's always about this topic in the Bible. It's still the word of the kingdom. "And understands it not. Then comes the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart, which is he which receives the seed by the wayside." The man who received the seed, the four kinds of ground. You can call this, it's another way of calling this particular parable, the four kinds of ground. The guy who does it, there are many people who, they hear the word of the kingdom and they're done. They don't want to hear it. They don't hear it, and it sort of like bounces off them. They can't understand it. And many people have a hard heart, like Jesus Christ said. Many people have already preconceived in their mind, "Hey, you're talking about this Bible, this old fogey book? Come on." They have a hard heart. It doesn't mean you and I stop speaking. It's just the four different reactions that people have. There's four different things, and a lot of them fall into this category. "But he that receives the seed in the stony places, the same is he that hears the word." He hears this word of the kingdom. "And immediately with joy he receives it." Anon is immediately in the old King James. "He receives it, yet he hath not root in himself, but he endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended." You know, when stuff gets tough, I mean, these people, they hear the word, they hear, "Oh, this is the greatest thing. I'm just so excited about this, to be able to get this knowledge of Scripture." And then all of a sudden, something comes up like, you know, you believe that? You know, their friends start telling them, "Oh, you believe that? What kind of nonsense is that? Why are you getting to be a holy roller?" And they start feeling the pressure a little bit. And, or they start to get persecuted. Then they don't have any root in themselves. It's a beautiful, practical, and for an agricultural society, and I'm not one of those guys, I'm not the kind of fellow that does a garden, but I do know how it works. You can see this kind of ground. There's not enough ground. There's not enough in their head and heart to be rooted to. And immediately, as time goes by, they just don't produce any fruit. And they get worn out. And they're offended and they walk away. The first group, they think the Bible's not for them. And they're done. They're done even before they almost hear it. And the devil, he doesn't even have to do that much. He just takes it away right away. This one, they get it. This is the greatest truth in the world. And yet, they don't have any root. They don't put themselves down deep into Scripture and really see it in their lives. And as soon as something bad comes up, or persecution or distress, they leave. They're gone. Verse 22, "He also that receives the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Say again, the cares of the world, the riches of the world, the pleasures of the world, they make people unfruitful. And, we want to mute whoever that is. So it's the cares of the world, the riches of the world. The individual becomes unfruitful. You have to take this scripture. It's got to get into your heart and into your lives. And there's a commitment that's necessary. You know, the and then finally you got the last category. It says, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and he understands it. Now, the only way, if you know the rest of Scripture, the only way you get to really understand is that you pray and you ask God to teach you and to show you and to help you. And he opens up your understanding. You don't do this yourself. I'm certainly not a man who was able to intellectually understand Scripture. You have to ask God to help you. But he that receives the seed on the good ground is he that hears the word. He hears it to the point that he understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100 and some 60 and 30. The whole point of hearing God's word and doing is not just learning the lessons, but bearing the fruit, living it. Living it and manifesting the fruit that's within it. And then he started another parable. Now remember, this is Jesus Christ speaking about the kingdom of God and the spiritual realities of this kingdom. When people hear the word of the kingdom, he's just been dealing with them. He's got the hard-hearted in front of them. He's going to have people who are going to get pressured out of this because of the religious leaders. He's going to have people that, because of temptations and the cares of the world, remember the rich man walked up to him at another time in the gospel and he said, what do I need to do in order to get, because I've kept the commandments since my youth. And he says, well, sell everything you got, give to the poor and come follow me. And the guy walked away. I mean, these are the things that are the realities of the spiritual realm when people hear the word in this message of the gospel. Look at this other parable. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sows good seed in his field. Now, they're similar, but they're not exactly the same. And Jesus Christ explains this, the parable of the sower. He gave it to them and then explained it. We read the explanation. And the parable of the wheat and the tares is the only other parable that Jesus Christ himself explains to God's people. And really, in those two, you get an understanding of how parables are to be interpreted. But let's just go and look at this one here, because this is another really huge explanation of the kingdom of God that many people really don't. They've always had these questions through the years, and I just don't think they get it because of their understanding of the kingdom, period. So another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sows good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. Tares are weeds. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, will thou then that which go and gather them up? Do you want us to go get them? But he said, nay. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to be burned, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, Jesus Christ doesn't stop right here. He just keeps going with another parable and another parable and another parable. But I want to go for the explanation that's in this parable here. And we're going to go in verse 36. And Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house of his disciples and came unto him and saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares and the field. By the way, this is, again, Jesus spoke in a parable. He spoke that parable of the tares and the wheat. And he never explained it to the crowd. And guess what? I don't think anybody got it. And the disciples came to him and asked. They asked him, please explain this to us. And just that beautiful little action got them a treasure of truth. People sometimes, they read, they don't get it, they don't understand, but they don't bother to ask somebody who might know a little bit more, or just discuss it with another believer. They just, okay, I read it, I don't understand it, and okay, well, we'll move on to something else. Why not ask? Why not ask? Why not seek? First of all, ask the Father, Almighty God. You pray and ask. What's wrong with asking a brother or a sister that you know understands Scripture a little bit? What's wrong with having a conversation about the thing that it may spur in your heart and in your mind some great truths? But these men, they came up to him and they didn't guess. They didn't make it up on their own. They didn't decide what the parable was going to be talking about. And I hear that so often when I listen to some people, because I'm sure you all have too. But anyhow, our Lord explains it. And he says, and he answered and said unto them, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Remember we read the Son of Man is coming in the kingdom in Daniel. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. You know, the evil ones, they're not going to make it. They're not going to inherit the kingdom. They're going to be destroyed. Judgment day is coming. But for the children of the kingdom, it's theirs. They're going to be gathered together. Verse 42. Excuse me, 41. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then he goes on and continues with more parables. And some of them are really short. But I wanted to... So what is the point? First of all, the major point of these two parables Jesus makes himself. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He makes that point in Matthew 13, verse 9, when he declared the parable of the sower to them originally without the explanation. It says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you choose to hear, Not listen. You know, I remember my dad always say, "Hey, did you hear me?" You and I choose. Is this scripture in front of you? The way I handle it, the way I think about it is, these are the words of my Father. These are the words that I know He has given to all of us to learn. And if you treat it that way, and if your attitude is that way towards Scripture, then as you read it, it's not just a book written by men. It's not just any book or a nice old philosophy. This is the truth of God. And you ask God to teach and to open up your understanding, your heart, and your mind. But choose to hear. There's so many people who want to read the nice parts of the Bible, the things that they like a lot. You know, the easy sayings of Scripture. But then when it comes to other things, we dismiss it a little bit more. You know, choose to hear. He says that again at the end of the second parable that we covered this morning. But there are four kinds of ground, and it's how the person hears that makes the difference. The seed is the same. It's sown by the Son of Man. If you put those two parables and sort of like compare them, the seed, the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe it. But it is a stone wall to those that don't and don't choose to hear. You know, when you look at this parable of the wheat and the tares, it answers the age-old question, why does God allow such evil in this world? Why does He allow the wicked to live, prosper? Why are they all doing what they're doing? Well, you know what? It shows us God's long-suffering. Because our Father has put up with all the evil that's in this world. Because if He didn't, you and I probably would have been collateral damage if we're the wheat. You know, the people that He has allowed to grow up around those that are His, they're all going to be dealt with, but they're going to be dealt with in God's own good time when He chooses to send back His, our Lord and Savior, when He chooses to send Him back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming back with His angels, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and there's going to be a day of reckoning for all the others. You know, it's if you read the scriptures and you read, it's not pretty what's going to happen. But every one of us has got a choice. We choose to hear. You know, because when the Lord comes back, when God says it's time, and that's the way it talks about it in First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, it's the trump sounds. The moment of time comes when the trump it sounds and the dead in Christ rise and the Lord returns in the clouds. At that moment, we're done with this time. All men can really cry out, search the scriptures, cry out, and ask the Heavenly Father. And all men that cry to Him will be saved. But there's a day coming when that time's over and the judgment does come. So you and I, we have that choice. We have the truth in front of us. And you know what? God has allowed the evil to persist in the world so that we can mature, so that we have time to grow and have fruit. And He will deal with it all at the end. The kingdom is going to happen. And this is just a little beautiful picture What happened? Why is it this way? Why isn't God dealing with it all right now? I mean, I think you could perceive the truth of the answers to those questions that so many people have. You know, why isn't life just? Well, it's because there's evil among us. Plain and simple. But those of us who believe and trust in the Lord, we will have his deliverance. We will have his promises. And by the way, everything will be dealt with from top to bottom when our Lord returns, and the evil will be vanquished and they'll get their judgment. And I pray that you and I enjoy the kingdom to come and reign with our Lord, as the scripture says. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And I'm very grateful and thankful. Grateful and thankful we don't have to fear as other men do. Grateful and thankful for the promises that our Father has given to us, for the love that he surrounded us with, and the hope that we have of our Lord's return. So you guys all have a wonderful day and a great week. And if you need anything, please give me a call. If I can do anything for you or pray with you, I'm very happy to. Just contact me. I'm also going to pray with you right now. So, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your goodness, your mercies. You, Father, you've designed everything about this gospel, Father, the message that we've heard. You wanted man to be on the earth in paradise. You wanted to be able to fellowship with them and to be with them, Father, to enjoy their presence and that for them to enjoy yours. And yet they sinned and they destroyed. And you sent a Savior, Father. You sent the Savior for us all. And you promised that he would reign and that you would do his word, Father. So I pray, my God, that as your word is made known to your people, and as our Lord and Savior has been made known to us, I pray, Father, for this kingdom to come, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're so grateful and thankful for all that you do. We praise your holy name for your love and for all that you've done for us, Father. Open our eyes and continue to hear, so that we can continue to hear the truth of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, God bless you all. I hope this has been a blessing and an enjoyment, and you have yourselves a great week. And again, please, if you need anything, just give me a holler. Be very privileged to talk to you and to help.